Good morning. It's Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. You're listening to Real Life with Jennifer Till, and it will come as no great surprise to you that I'm not Jennifer Till. Jennifer is unfortunately fighting influenza and probably a strep throat. Has some bad laryngitis, so as she croaked over the phone at 6 o'clock to me this morning and said, "Can you do this?" And I said, "Well, we'll try." We have some wonderful guests this morning and a wonderful story. So I would, in Jennifer's place, invite you to sit back, grab your favorite beverage, coffee or tea, find a quiet place to listen, and remember that the next hour is for you. And we hope you enjoy it. Birth is truly one event that unites us all, and yet it's unique to each and every woman. We know that prenatal health and the delivery itself can have a profound impact on the health and well-being of the child, the family, the community. We also know that current infant mortality rates in Charlottesville are higher than the state average, and in Virginia, higher than the U.S. average. My guests this morning are Kate White of Birth Matters Virginia and Brianna Tillman, a brand new mom, and they're part of a new event that's just premiering this year, a workshop and classes and door prizes, and we're going to hear all about it. It's called the Healthy Birth, Healthy Baby event. It's a first-time collaborative between public, private, nonprofit agencies and providers who support pregnancy, birth, and the postpartum families. Good morning, Kate. Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning.
Nice to have you both here this morning.
It's great to be here. It's great to be able to talk to Charlottesville about this.
I know you're very excited. You're very passionate about this, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I feel real strongly that we really need to support families and moms and babies in particular, and dads too, helping families get the best possible start.
Well, Kate, what's your background? How did you get involved in
birth?
With birth, other than having, I know you have two of your own.
I have two babies myself. But I'm a therapist. I'm a massage and craniosacral therapist, and I've been a therapist a long time. Here in Charlottesville, I run Belvedere Integrated Healing Arts, but I have a very special focus. It's called Mother Care Virginia. And 10 years ago, I guess maybe longer than that, I guess I've been a craniosacral therapist since 1999. And that therapy, we really do a lot of intake around life experience, especially the nervous system. And I really have become a nervous system specialist. And back then, when I first started, part of our intake was asking people about their births. What was their experience? And I had one client that really turned my life upside down. She began to remember her birth in the process of working with me. And I remember her turning to me and saying, "I want to heal this, and I want to heal this with you." And she in particular taught me a lot about the baby's experience during birth, and also that it has lifelong effects on how she experienced her life. And then I began a very rigorous, long, intensive search for how to work with birth and babies. And now here I am, many, many years later, having studied extensively, found great teachers, traveled, really worked hard on my own birth too. Now I work to support moms because I know it's very important.
Well, and speaking about supporting moms, I want to invite the listeners, if you've got a story about your birth or the birth of your baby that you'd like to share with us and with our listeners, to call 977-1070, that's 977-1070, and share it with us on air. But speaking of new moms, we're also joined by Brianna Tillman, who describes herself as a new mom. And I know your husband's in the military.
Yes, he's deployed to Iraq right now.
And you have a five-month-old, am I right?
Right, a five-month-old baby, and she has two older brothers, five and three.
You have three, and I should tell any editors out there looking for good new material, Brianna shared with us this morning that she's working on a real, but from a humorous perspective, her experiences around being a new mom with a husband in Iraq. I understand your husband actually sort of participated via Skype.
That's right.
What was that
there,
like?
He was there for my birth, for my third baby's birth on the computer. I wasn't sure what to expect, whether I would be able to have him there on the computer, or whether I just have to send him an email the next day and say, hey, your baby was born. But it all worked out great. The Wi-Fi at UVA worked the whole time, which normally our internet connection gets cut off somewhere after 10 or 15 minutes. But this thing stayed steady for 4 hours, and he just was there, a floating face beside me, giving me encouraging words. And it was fantastic. It was very nice.
That sounds almost surreal.
It's surreal for him, too, I think.
I bet it was. I bet he was a very happy man.
Yes, lucky.
That's terrific. That's not something, I will say only because Kate asked me to mention it. In my background, checkered as it is, I have been, among other things, both a teacher and a pediatric nurse. And so, while never experiencing it from the perspective of my two very lovely guests, have seen birth very close and uphand numerous times. And have taken care of a lot of children on the other side of that line, which comes back, I think, to something that you were talking about, Kate, how that birthing event is going to have consequences for not just that baby and that mom, but for that family, for that extended family, for the community. What kind of things do you see between a birth, which is sort of, I won't call it ideal because I think in some ways they're all difficult, but that works pretty much the way you want versus a more troubled birth. What kind of differences do you see post that event?
Post difficulty, if a family has difficulty?
Yeah.
Well, I think the first part about that is just to define difficulty just a little bit before we go there, because one of the things I'm representing here is Birth Matters Virginia, and part of our mission is to improve the culture of birth. And what we're working with is trying to support as natural a birthing process as possible, knowing that if a woman gets the amount of support that she needs and has supported with the way she wants to birth her baby, then that's an idealized outcome for the mom. So our job as providers is to meet that mom, to support her, that family, and see what she really wants and make sure that we do that. But then things happen. I mean, and quite often it's very impersonal. And I think what's hard for me as a therapist and as a mom and as a woman is when a woman begins to internalize what happens during birth as something that she's done wrong or that she's failed herself in some way. And so difficulty can be anything from having to be induced to having an epidural if they didn't want one to, you know, having a cesarean section, which right now is 1 in 3 women. So I think it's a real big issue for our culture and for women in particular. And then I also want to say I met Brianna at one of our events. Birth Matters does birth circles the third Monday of the month at the new Body, Mind, Spirit, just down the street here at the Preston Plaza. And one of the ways we seek to improve the culture of birth is just providing a non-judgmental space for women to come and talk about their births. And it we start out by saying there's no one way to have a baby. And I met Brianna there, and I asked her to come on the air with me because I feel like the way she talked about her birth was very moving for me, and I'm hoping that we can give her a chance to talk about her birth.
Good morning. You're listening to Real Life with Jennifer Till. This is not Jennifer Till. This is Dave Weiner, the executive producer. We're at Radio 1070 Talk Radio WINA. We are inviting listeners to call in at 977-1070, 977-1070 to share their thoughts or stories about birth and how they were or were not supported in the community. We're going to break in just a minute, but Brianna, let me ask you, what was the overwhelming sense you had when Kate was talking about mothers feeling sometimes almost apologetic or that they didn't do it quite right? Did you have that kind of an experience?
I did. My very first birth was my oldest son. And I had attended a Lamaze class with my husband. We had set our eyes on the goal of natural birth, but we had many complications that happened there during the birth process and ended up in cesarean section. And I felt afterwards that the very first act as a mother was a failure for me. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about how I've grown from there.
We're going to do that right after we come back from this break. Thank you. Good morning. You're listening to Real Life with Jennifer Till, whom I am not. And I'm joined this morning on WNA Talk Radio 1070 by Kate White, who is one of the driving forces behind the Healthy Birth, Healthy Baby Conference coming up soon. We'll be talking about that later in the hour. And new mom, Brianna Tillman. We're talking about, at this point, how sometimes new moms hoping for that anticipated, worked for, perfect birth, get in and experience things that change that anticipation and the outcome of that. And Brianna, you want to pick up where you were talking before the break?
Well, yes. My first birth was at Fort Knox, Kentucky. And I had planned for that natural birth. I had wanted that. And I had never in my mind ever considered that I would not have exactly the birth I expected to have. I knew that people always said, oh, unexpected things can happen during birth and we need to be prepared for any outcomes. But I really thought to myself, well, that's somebody else. Somebody else might end up with a C-section, but I'm going to have my beautiful natural birth just the way I wanted, with this soft mood music and my husband gazing lovingly into my eyes. And when that didn't quite happen the way I expected, when we ended up with that C-section and all the overwhelming emotions after birth, the hormones flooding my body, and then also this feeling of failure that I had not started my baby the way I wanted, the very first act of motherhood, I felt that it was very traumatic. I was very happy to have my baby, but also this strange sense of grief for the birth that I didn't have, and now the big belly I used to have is gone, and I have this baby, and I don't know how to take care of him very well. I had a lot of difficulty breastfeeding, and it was a rocky start, and I carried that with me for a long time. 2 years later, we were in South Korea, and I was getting ready to have my second baby, and I really wanted to have a VBAC. It's a vaginal birth after cesarean, and so I set my eyes on that. I again hoped to have a natural birth, but really the first goal that I had was this VBAC, and I knew that in Korea the C-section rate is 40% already, and with already having had a C-section, my chances were even higher. So every time I thought about my birth, I became very anxious. I got tense during the whole pregnancy. I got tense about this birth, thinking I need to have that VBAC. And then when I went in labor, I started getting tense again, and it initiated the fear, tension, pain cycle. The more afraid you are, the more tense you get, and the greater the pain that you experience during labor. So I did end up having my VBAC, but I also had an epidural during that time and an episiotomy for my second birth. I was very happy to have the VBAC, but still disappointed that I hadn't achieved that natural birth goal. When I was getting ready to have my third child, we moved here to Charlottesville, just moved here last June, and I thought, well, what better place to try to have a natural birth? Charlottesville community, I could tell online already, they had great organizations, the Birth Matters, La Leche League, a very active community for having birth and labor and post-birth outcomes. So I went to UVA, but I tried to have a better balance in my approach to birth this time, to think I need to have the focus necessary to achieve that goal, but also an acceptance of whatever might come. And I listened to these relaxation CDs during the whole labor, during the whole pregnancy, trying to prepare for having a relaxed, happy birth. And I also had a doula that I found out about through my first birth circle that I came to just a few weeks after I got here.
A doula?
A doula. A doula is a woman who helps a pregnant mom go through labor. And basically it's the only person in the room that is just focused on having that labor be comfortable for the woman and just being a relaxing presence. And I had a beautiful, wonderful doula, Megan. She has a website, bloominbirth.com. And she was just fantastic. since my husband was in Iraq, I needed somebody who would come and pick me up and take me to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And she graciously agreed to do that for me. And she was a calming presence, brought me peppermint tea while I was getting more into labor to help me perk up a little bit when I was starting to fall asleep, actually. I started to fall asleep in the middle of labor, but she was great. And the UVA staff was just completely fantastic. I had a few reservations about going to UVA for my birth. I had thought about doing a home birth, but after C-section, with my husband in Iraq, and he wasn't too supportive of me doing a home birth when he wasn't there to even be able to make sure I got to the hospital if something happened. So I went to the place that my insurance would support, which was UVA. And among the community of people in Charlottesville who want to have natural births, most people choose other places, either home birth or maybe Martha Jaff. And there is a sense that maybe UVA might not be the most supportive place for a natural birth. But I just had a great experience there. The staff was welcoming and very understanding of my desires. Nobody tried to pressure me into anything.
So you felt pretty supported there?
Yeah, it was amazing. And then they allowed me to turn on the computer and Skype with my husband during the birth. It was great. And afterwards, I was so happy to have achieved this goal of the natural birth. I felt really fulfilled, and I felt that I'd achieved this great milestone. I felt strong as a woman, and I was very happy for my baby. But I also looked back on these other two births of mine, and I thought, this was fantastic, but I still ended up with the same thing, a beautiful baby. Why was I so upset the last two times that I didn't get the birth that I needed? And sure, there were some benefits that I had from natural birth. I really enjoyed some of experiencing it to the extent that you can experience birth. But, I mean, in the end, it wasn't something for me to drag with me as a stone weighing me down for so long that I didn't get the birth that I had wanted the first two times.
You're listening to 1070 WINA Talk Radio. This is Real Life with Jennifer Till. As I say this morning, this is not Jennifer. She's nursing a very bad cold and laryngitis at home. The show is sponsored in part by the really good folks at Virginia National Bank, and we like to thank them for all of the support that they give us on a regular basis, and just that they're a great, great community bank. I remember that when my mom in the latter years of her life moved with us here to Charlottesville, and she looked around to figure out where she wanted to bank, she decided she liked that feel of Virginia National Bank and chose them, having spent a good deal of her life in a small town. She liked the people and she liked the bank, and we certainly liked the way they took care of her. We're going to break in just a couple of minutes, but your thoughts about Brianna's story. Okay. I mean, when you hear that as a therapist, this is obviously not the first time you've heard that. Just sort of before the break, can you just touch on what women sort of do to themselves in having this huge set of expectations?
Well, that's a really good point and a great question. And I think the reason why I asked Brianna to come on the air with me today is just because of the way she made sense of her birth story. And I have met women who, even 30 years later, still remember their births of their children. And it can be like a stone that weighs them down, and it can be a place. And trauma will do that. Trauma will definitely bring you down. So if you can find a way as a mom, if you've had a difficult birth, a way to make sense of your experience, it can really be settling for your nervous system.
Okay. We're going to break now. Come stay with us and join us afterwards. Thank you. Good morning. You're listening to Real Life with Jennifer Till, whom I am not. And this is WINA Talk Radio 1070, Real Life, sponsored in part by Virginia National Bank. I'm here this morning with Kate White, who is the coordinator for the Healthy Birth, Healthy Baby Conference coming up. We're going to be talking about in this half hour of the show. And Brianna Tillman, new mom, who was sharing with us a very moving story about the birth of all three of her children, the expectations that she had for those births, and the pain and anguish she went through when that expectation and that outcome was somehow different. And Kate, we were talking during the break about a couple of things that I wanted to touch on. One was how important it is for women to both record and share those stories, not only in a symbolic sense, but actually in a real-world physical sense, how it can affect the outcomes of health and well-being. And also, secondly, I want to touch back on something that Brianna alluded to, which was the support she received. So let's start first with the telling of the story. Why is that so important, and what do you see as a result of people who can do that?
Well, that what's been documented in this, because I'm a researcher and I'm a data person. I love to collect data, especially if it strengthens support for moms. Is that if you write down your story of your birth, especially if it's been very difficult, it will decrease the amount of overwhelm you feel in your system. As really, I'm a nervous system specialist, and what we're talking about when it comes to difficulty and overwhelm is like post-traumatic stress disorder and all kinds of other things that can happen if your nervous system is not settled. Like my job as a therapist is to help us to help people settle around their life experience. And they've been able to document that if a woman writes down her story, it decreases those symptoms of overwhelm in her body. And I think, Brianna, you were saying something like that too, that you wrote down all your stories of all your births, right?
Right. Within a few weeks, I tried to make sure I wrote them all down, because it's amazing how much you forget about the birth, really, in a short time. And after I wrote them down, I also shared them with people. And I thought that was helpful for me too, to reach out and make community with other women who had had babies, gone through births, or something similar.
So here, you know, with Birth Matters, we provide a venue once a month for women to come together and tell their stories and be heard and feel met, too, and feel accurately reflected, that they can find other women in our community that have had experiences like theirs. So that second part of your question, Dave, was about support. And support is one of those words that feels like sort of ambiguous. Like, what does that mean? So in Brianna's story, we talked about the labor support she had with Megan Bloom, the doula, or the labor assistant is often what they're called too. And, you know, once again, the data around that's fantastic, that it can decrease up to 25, even 35% the amount of interventions that you can have during birth. So that means a decrease in overwhelm in their system. And they've even been able to document that it increases satisfaction with their marriage, with their mate after the birth. And these are studies that were done in South Africa. Your listening audience here can go look them up. It's just phenomenal what support can mean for a mom during labor and delivery. And even before she's them having the baby, just support during her pregnancy, connecting with other moms, forming a circle. They've even been able to document how that will decrease preterm delivery and low birth weight in some of our more challenging populations. So just figuring out what kind of support you want and if you can really receive that.
I see Brianna is aching to jump in here about support. So tell us what's on your thoughts right now.
I was reluctant in my first two births to look for a doula, because my husband was my labor coach, and he was fantastic at it. He went to the Lamaze class with me, and he really came through and was a really good labor coach. In my third birth, I didn't know that he might even be present in the room, but I definitely needed someone else to also be there for my labor coach. And I would say that a doula would not have overtaken Luke's role as my coach. She was so there and not there. She was such a gentle presence in the room that, in retrospect, a doula would have been a perfect augmentation to my other births, even with my husband being my primary coach. I just wanted to let people know that a doula doesn't overtake the husband.
Well, and I'm curious, Kate, when you talk about Virginia Matters and the women telling their birth stories, and then we talk about men in support, it's really challenging for husbands to be part of it, but not necessarily as engaged as maybe some of them might want to be. I mean, it's an intimate moment, but it's a moment that perhaps you started, you know, 9 months before you were participatory in that. But now you can't ever really get 100% into that situation. What kind of sharing with your husband, with fathers, helps to strengthen that family relationship after birth?
Well, in my field, I always involve the dad if there's been difficulty. And I have to say, dads are kind of reluctant to come in and talk about what they perceive. I think it's a very delicate and a very fine thing to include a father in the storytelling. I know from my own birth that my husband played a pivotal role, and that he was also a protector, and he helped a lot with the birth of my children. I can even feel some tears of my own thinking about him being with me, what we sang and all the jokes that we told and the way that he helped and supported me. But if I have a difficult birth, I often like to include the dad, because sometimes they can feel very vulnerable too, that they see their woman having difficulty and they can feel helpless. And then they can sort of stuff that helplessness and not talk about it later. Or if there's been a real life-threatening situation, they can go into a real panic state inside and not know what to do with that. So I draw them out. I have them tell their experience. And I think we were talking during the break. If there has been difficulty, sometimes I'll even include the older siblings, because if the older sibling too has a lot of fear, it can be held in what I call the family field. And it can linger there, it can stay there, and it can cause difficulty in the family in a hidden way. So I like to bring everybody together.
You're listening to WINA 1070 Talk Radio. This is Real Life with Jennifer Till, whom I'm not. We were talking during the break, Kate, with you about some of the changes, certainly from the participation of males from the 1940s when I was born to now, and you were telling me that you used to do birth coaching training at home and have videos of now of delivery of birth that you showed at home, and your son, who's now 12, grew up kind of watching those. Yes. So I'm curious, if you think about him, if you project 10 years into the future, if he's having a dad about to have a birth, what do you suppose that all of the exposure and the experiences that he's had with you and seeing that will bring to him in this experience that maybe my dad, who never had anything like that, never even dreamed of anything like that?
Oh, gosh, Dave, I don't know. I mean, I think the world of my son, and I'm hoping that when he grows up and if he has a wife and has children, that he'll look back on all those images and encourage his wife to be strong and to know that she can do it. She can have the birth that she wants and the birth that they want together. So I think that it's a good preparation. And in fact, once again, if I could just put my research hat on, I know that if you expose a child between the ages of 7 to 9, which is when they're very curious and have a certain amount of courage too, to some of these things like breastfeeding and birth, that later on it's normalized for them. Okay, well, birth is normal. Natural birth is normal. Breastfeeding is normal. Even with girls, they've been able to find out that if you expose them between the ages of 7 and 9 to breastfeeding, that breastfeeding then is a normalized thing for them. Somehow it goes into their brain and into their way of the world, their world belief system that babies breastfeed. So that's been documented.
My son said once, babies don't drink out of bottles, they nurse.
Yeah. Yeah. So the more we can expose our children and our families and, you know, people to these healthy birth, healthy baby ways, the better, which is why I'm so passionate about healthy birth, healthy baby health fair. I want to really encourage people to come down. You can meet Charlottesville doulas there. They're very exciting. They have a table. There's a birth center table and a home birth table, and both hospitals are going to be there.
Prenatal yoga, yeah, and postnatal yoga play.
It has been an amazing experience organizing this health fair, and I'm certainly hoping that we can talk a little bit about that.
We are. As we come back after the next segment, that's exactly what we're going to talk about. You're listening to 1070 WINA Talk Radio, Real Life with Jennifer Till. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Good morning. You're listening to Real Life with Jennifer Till, sponsored by the good folks at Virginia National Bank. This is Talk Radio WINA 1070. We're here this morning with Brianna Tillman and Kate White. And Kate, before the break, we promised that we would come back and we would talk about something I know you're extraordinarily passionate about.
Yes.
Which is actually, it's a two-part for this segment of the show. One is the Healthy Birth, Healthy Baby Health Fair.
Yes.
That you have as a, and I use the word with full pun intended, a labor of love.
Yes.
Gotten together as a full-time volunteer. And I also want to touch, as we talk in this segment, about some of the other resources that you've talked about, how rich you feel the Charlottesville area is in different resources, not only supporting the fair, but supporting childbirth in general in Charlottesville. So let's start off with the fair. How was this idea born? What was the genesis of putting a fair together?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question, because it's a great story. I grew up here in Charlottesville. I moved back 3 years ago, and I began looking for my team of practitioners. I'm a collaborator. I'm a team player. I know that supporting families is not just the job of one provider alone. So I went out looking for my team. And where I lived in Vermont, we had a meeting where I could go to and just meet other providers. And I didn't find that here. So I started it. It was called the Perinatal Collaboration. And this is a shout out to all my fellow collaborators out there, because this health fair really wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for our ways of being together as providers supporting families. And it was acupuncturists, therapists, midwives, and city agencies came. And I also found during that time that the city's trying to really improve perinatal outcomes here. And I thought, well, why don't we work towards a health fair? That'd be fun. That would bring us together closer.
And I want to stress for people, if you've not been on the Healthy Birth, Healthy Baby website, that while it does talk about public and private providers and all of that, this is for you. If you are interested, if you're a mom, think you're going to be a mom. If you're a dad, think you're going to be a dad, a grandparent. There's an open community welcome for everyone. And if you look at the list of door prizes, yes, which is somewhat staggering, actually.
I know. It's been so wonderfully overwhelming. Not overwhelming in a good way. I mean, just surprise and enjoyment. And you know, as I began to build toward the health fair, the city council member, Holly Edwards, heard about what I was doing. And she said, I'm trying to improve the health of families here in Charlottesville. And she gave me the Herman Key Center downtown and said, go, fill it up, include as many people as you can. So this is an inclusive health fair. It's for low-income folks. It's for medium-income folks. It's for all ethnicities. And I began to really try and pull so many providers, agencies, public. That's why that website looks the way it does, is because I really began to reach out, and we really began to work together as many different backgrounds to support these families.
Well, I know that in addition to your sponsors and those kind of mm-hmm. providers, you've had over 30 different local companies volunteer and step up and provide mm-hmm. door prizes for people who are coming for a first year. That's a very impressive number, isn't it?
Well, it's been amazing. Also, my Albemarle family, Jen Brierton, she was just one of my first mentors. People from the hospital, Diane Sampson and Betsy Collins from the perinatal educators from both hospitals have really been a big help. Look at Whole Foods. They're giving me 100 bags of goodies. And then I had some private donors give me money to buy baby wearing accessories to help women learn how to have their babies closer to their heart. But I'm still getting calls. Like, I had the Alakazam toy store call me and say, you know what? We heard about your health fair. We want to support healthy moms, healthy babies. I'm going to give you two baskets of toys to give away. And you know, I'm still getting calls like, yes, we want to participate. Like Preston Avenue Shell gas station guy, He was so like, yes, I want to support this. I want to support this. No, it's
so been... let's make sure we get all the particulars down for moms and dads out there. The fair is
Saturday, March the 5th, downtown at the Herman Key Center. And it's from 10 a.m.
And for people that don't know where the Herman Key Center is,
it's right next to the pavilion. So it's 800 East Market Street. You can park in the parking garage and get free parking for 2 hours and then wander the mall. Hopefully it will be a beautiful day. So it's downtown, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. We're going to have free lunch that's donated by the Revolutionary Soup people. This is another really great thing.
Like, and they have, I will testify, they have great soup. Unfortunately, I'll be out of town in Nashville at a meeting, so I won't be able to join you, but I know you're going to have an absolutely great day. I know that people can get on the website and look at all of the different activities that are going on, but there's a fair amount of class and education.
Right. We have free workshops. We've had these providers that want to really educate about their work, so there's ways to help you prepare through chiropractic. There's an infant mental health presentation in the morning. There's yoga for labor. There's local resources that are going to be listed from the CHIP people, which are just, they're an amazing group of people that do.
Now, what is CHIP? Because I don't know the acronym. I do, but it's from the days of the California Highway Patrol, which is not what you're doing. So that's something different.
No, I think it's Comprehensive Health Initiative Program or something like that. I don't know exactly what CHIP. I can't remember. There's two acronyms that CHIP for health, but this is a group that does home visiting for moms and babies, and they do an amazing job. There's so many people have really jumped in and really wanted to work hard and make this event happen. And I just want to say how impressed I am with the passion and the support of people in Charlottesville. It's just been a wonderful experience for me. This is a purely a volunteer thing. I'm not paid to do this. It's just really been wonderful. I've had the support of my organization, Birth Matters, and so many other people, so many other local businesses, I have to say. It's just been very rewarding. I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
And I think I touched on how difficult I found breastfeeding after having my C-section, and La Leche League was really there for me after that. They specialize in helping mother-to-mother breastfeeding support, and I know they're going to be at the fair as well.
They're going to be there along with this new birthing center that's opening up on Pantops. And there's then many people like Judith Sullivan, who is this private provider here in Charlottesville. She has done so much. And I remember when she sat down to write me a check as a sponsor, she looked at me and said, I'm giving you top dollar. I'm giving you the top amount that you're asking because it's important. And I mean, I've just felt like that's been consistent about right doing this health fair. So the workshops start every hour on the hour. There's going to be a 45-minute presentations, and then there'll be a live radio broadcast from another one of the radio group. 106.1 The Corner will be there from 12 to doing a live radio broadcast. Mm-hmm. So, and please go to the website for those of you who are listening and see all the wonderful door prizes that we're offering, massages and gift baskets and photo sessions. And I even had a dentist give me a wonderful Oral-B, really super-duper fancy toothbrush. So, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing what people are giving to have this event be successful. So,
well, and hopefully it will be the first of many such successful fairs. So, we hope that this has a very, very healthy birthing as a Charlottesville event and becomes something annual. There certainly is something I think all of us have experienced in one form or another. What the event of a child coming into a family, a home, a community can and does mean. And I would imagine that as a therapist and with your focus on sort of birth stories and the cranial sacral work that you do, that you've probably heard some pretty phenomenal stories over the years.
Yes, I have been. I have worked with some pretty interesting stories.
Is there one, as we come up, we're going to be closing in a few minutes, and obviously in a confidential sense with no names, but one that you think our listeners would really connect to?
Yes, one comes to mind. And I think I often cry when I tell this story because it means a lot to me. It was a story of a woman in Vermont that she had had a very difficult first labor, but because it was very fast and it frightened her. And her husband said that it was kind of like riding in the passenger seat, and his wife was in the driver's seat, and they were out of control. And he kept saying, "Look out, look out." So the second time they had a baby, they took this relaxation hypnotherapy that Brianna was talking about, this relaxation CDs. And when she tells the story, it's a beautiful thing because she's one of these really straight people, straight up, like, don't give me any of this fluffy stuff. Give me the straight news. She's a lawyer. But she showed up at the office of the midwife I used to work with and said, "I think I'm in labor." And sure enough, she was checked. She was 7 centimeters, and they turned the lights down low, and the husband said to her, "You're relaxing, your jaw is opening, and your shoulder is sinking, and you're slowly going deeper." And you know, she had that baby in a couple of hours without feeling out of control. And she said later, anytime she wants to feel, this is where I begin to start to cry, anytime she wants to feel just that love in her heart, she opens up this birth experience as like a jewel box and looks at it. And that's something that she's going to carry with her the rest of her life, not like a stone, but like a jewel box.
That's amazing.
Well, thank you, Kate. You've shared this morning with Kate White and Brianna Tillman and their stories in support and love of children and the birth process. This is, of course, Real Life with Jennifer Till on WINA Talk Radio 1070. And Brianna, you'd like to say something before we leave?
Can I just say that I was able to be here today because my mom flew in from Colorado and is watching my kids for me. And so I'm so
a shout out. Thank you, Mom. We appreciate that. We appreciate all of you. Jennifer likes to end the show by asking each of you to think, what is the kindest thing that I can do for myself this week? And I would encourage you all to do that. And Jennifer, if you are listening, I would encourage you to, the kindest thing you can do is just take care of yourself. Know that we all miss you and look forward to seeing you back. The rest of our audience, take care and have a wonderful, wonderful week.